The Game of Logic by Lewis Carroll. Chapter 1, Part 2, Syllogisms. Now suppose we divide our universe of things in three ways with regard to three different attributes. Out of these three attributes, we may make up three different couples. For instance, if they were A, B, C, we might make up three couples, A, B, A, C, B, C. Also suppose we have two propositions given us containing two of these three couples, and that from them we can prove a third proposition containing the third couple. For example, if we divide our universe for M, X, and Y, and we have the two propositions given us, no M are X, and all M prime are Y, containing the two couples MX and MY, it might be possible to prove from them a third proposition containing X and Y. In such a case, we call the given propositions the premises, the third one the conclusion, and the whole set a syllogism. Evidently, one of the attributes must occur in both premises, or else one must occur in one premise and its contradictory in the other. In the first case, when, for example, the premises are some M are X and no M are Y prime, the term, which occurs twice, is called the middle term because it serves as a sort of link between the other two terms. In the second case, when, for example, the premises are no M are X prime and all M prime are Y, the two terms which contain these contradictory attributes may be called the middle terms. Thus, in the first case, the class of M things is the middle term, and in the second case, the two classes of M things and M prime things are the middle terms. The attribute, which occurs in the middle term or terms, disappears in the conclusion and it is said to be eliminated, which literally means turned out of doors. Now let us try to draw a conclusion from the two premises. Some new cakes are unwholesome. No nice cakes are unwholesome. In order to express them with counters, we need to divide cakes in three different ways with regard to newness, to niceness, and to wholesomeness. For this, we must use the larger diagram, making X mean new, Y nice, and M wholesome. Everything inside the central square is supposed to have the attribute M, and everything outside it the attribute M prime, i.e., not M. You had better adopt a rule to make M mean the attribute which occurs in the middle term or terms. I have chosen M as the symbol because middle begins with M. Now, in representing the two premises, I prefer to begin with the negative one, the one beginning with no, because gray counters can always be placed with certainty, and will then help to fix the position of the red counters, which are sometimes a little uncertain, where they will be most welcome. Let us express the no nice cakes are unwholesome cakes, i.e. no Y cakes are M prime cakes. This tells us that none of the cakes belonging to the Y half of the cupboard are in its M prime compartments, that is, the ones outside the central square. Hence, the two compartments, number 9 and number 15, are both empty, and we must place a gray counter in each of them, thus, as shown in the diagram. We have now to express the other premise, namely, some new cakes are unwholesome cakes, that is, some X cakes are M prime cakes. This tells us that some of the cakes in the X half of the cupboard are in its M prime compartments. Hence, one of the two compartments, number 9 and number 10, is occupied. And as we are not told in which of these two compartments to place the red counter, the usual rule would be to lay it on the division line between them. But in this case, the other premise has settled the matter for us by declaring number 9 to be empty. Hence, the red counter has no choice and must go into number 10, thus as in the following diagram. And now, what counters will this information enable us to place in the smaller diagram as to get some proposition involving X and Y only, leaving out M? Let us take its four compartments one by one. First, number 5. All we know about this is that its outer portion is empty, but we know nothing about its inner portion. Thus, the square may be empty or may have something in it. Who can tell? So we dare not place any counter in this square. Secondly, what of number 6? Here we are a little better off. We know that there is something in it, for there is a red counter in its outer portion. It is true we do not know whether its inner portion is empty or occupied, but what does that matter? One solitary cake in one corner of the square is quite sufficient excuse for saying, "This square is occupied," and for marking it with a red counter. As for number 7, we are in the same condition as with number 5. We find it partly empty, but we do not know whether the other part is empty or occupied, so we dare not mark this square. And as to number 8, we have simply no information at all. The result is shown in the following diagram. Our conclusion, then, must be got out of the rather meager piece of information that there is a red counter in the XY prime square. Hence, our conclusion is, some X are Y prime. That is, some new cakes are not nice cakes. Or, if you prefer to take Y prime as your subject, some not nice cakes are new cakes, but the other looks neatest. We will now write out the whole syllogism, putting the following symbol for therefore and omitting cakes for the sake of brevity at the end of each proposition. Some new cakes are unwholesome. No nice cakes are unwholesome. Therefore, some new cakes are not nice. And you have now worked out successfully your first syllogism. Permit me to congratulate you and to express the hope that it is but the beginning of a long and glorious series of similar victories. We will work out one other syllogism, a rather harder one than the last, and then I think you may be safely left to play the game by yourself, or better, with any friend whom you can find that is able and willing to take a share in the sport. Let us see what we can make of the two premises. All dragons are uncanny. All Scotchmen are canny. Remember, I don't guarantee the premises to be facts. In the first place, I never even saw a dragon, and in the second place, it isn't of the slightest concurrence to us as logicians whether our premises are true or false. All we have to do is to make out whether they lead logically to the conclusion so that if they were true, it would also be true. You see, we must give up the cakes now, or our cupboard will be of no use to us. We must take as our universe some class of things which will include dragons and Scotchmen, shall we say animals? And as canny is evidently the attribute belonging to the middle terms, we will let M stand for canny, X for dragons, and Y for Scotchmen, so that our two premises are in full. All dragon animals are uncanny animals. All Scotchmen animals are canny animals. And these may be expressed using letters for words, thus, all X are M prime, all Y are M. The first premise consists, as you already know, of two parts. Some X are M prime and no X are M. And the second also consists of two parts. Some Y are M and no Y are M prime. Let us take the negative portions first. We have then to mark on the larger diagram below, first, no X are M, and secondly, no Y are M, prime. I think you will see, without further explanation, that the two results separately are, as shown, and that these two, when combined, give us the following diagram. We have now to mark the two positive portions, some X are M prime and some Y are M. The only two compartments available for things which are X M prime are number 9 and number 10. Of these, number 9 is already marked as empty, so our red counter must go into number 10. Similarly, the only two available for Y M are number 11 and number 13. Of these, number 11 is already marked as empty, so our red counter must go into number 13. The final result is shown in the following diagram. And now, how much of this information can usefully be transferred to the smaller diagram? Let us take its four compartments one by one. As to number 5, this, we see, is wholly empty, so mark it with a gray counter. As to number 6, this, we see, is occupied, so mark it with a red counter. As to number 7, ditto, ditto. As to number 8, no information. The smaller diagram is now pretty liberally marked, as shown below. And now, what conclusion can we read off from this? Well, it is impossible to pack such abundant information into one proposition. We shall have to indulge in two this time. First, by taking X as subject, we get all X are Y. That is, all dragons are not Scotchmen. Secondly, by taking Y as subject, we get all Y are X. That is, all Scotchmen are not dragons. Let us now write out altogether our two premises and our brace of conclusions. All dragons are uncanny. All Scotchmen are canny. Therefore, all dragons are not Scotchmen. All Scotchmen are not dragons. Let me mention in conclusion that you may perhaps meet with logical treatises in which it is not assumed that anything exists at all. By some X or Y is understood to mean the attributes X, Y are compatible, so that a thing can have both at once. No X or Y to mean the attributes X, Y are incompatible, so that nothing can have both at once. In such treatises, propositions have quite different meanings from what they have in our game of logic, and it will be well to understand exactly what the difference is. First, take some X or Y. Here we understand R to mean R as an actual fact, which of course implies that some X things exist. But they, the writers of these other treatises, only understand R to mean can be, which does not at all imply that any exist. So they mean less than we do. Our meaning includes theirs, for of course some X are Y includes some X can be Y. But theirs does not include ours. For example, some Welsh hippopotami are heavy would be true according to these writers, since the attributes Welsh and heavy are quite compatible in a hippopotamus. But it would be false in our game, since there are no Welsh hippopotami to be heavy. Secondly, take no X or Y. Here, we understand R to mean R as an actual fact, which does not at all imply that no X can be Y. But they understand the proposition to mean not only that none are Y, but that none can possibly be Y. So they mean more than we do. Their meaning includes ours, for of course no X can be Y includes no X are Y. But ours does not include theirs. For example, no policemen are 8 feet high would be true in our game, since, as an actual fact, no such splendid specimens are ever found. But it would be false, according to these writers, since the attributes belonging to the police force and 8 feet high are quite compatible. There is nothing to prevent a policeman from growing to that height if sufficiently rubbed with Rollins Macassar oil, which said to make hair grow when rubbed on hair, and so, of course, will make a policeman grow when rubbed on a policeman. Thirdly, take all X or Y, which consists of the two partial propositions, some X or Y and no X or Y. Here, of course, the treatises mean less than we do in the first part and more than we do in the second. But the two operations don't balance each other any more than you can console a man for having knocked down one of his chimneys by giving him an extra doorstep. If you meet with syllogisms of this kind, you may work them quite easily by the system I have given you. You have only to make R mean R capable of being, and all will go smoothly. For some X or Y will become some X are capable of being Y. That is, the attributes X, Y are compatible, and no X or Y will become no X are capable of being Y. That is, the attributes X, Y are incompatible. And of course, all X or Y will become some X are capable of being Y, and none are capable of being Y prime. That is, the attributes X, Y are compatible, and the attributes X, Y prime are incompatible. By using the diagrams for this system, you must understand a red counter to mean there may possibly be something in this compartment, and a gray one to mean there cannot possibly be anything in this compartment. End of chapter. Read by Leonidas for Lit2Go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.